Glory to God. There is more. I'm excited about the more. Come on, I believe we're on the cusp of stepping into some marvelous things, some things that are going to make us marvel. The wonders of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. On Sunday, I said, you know, that because we do know there's more, we should be expecting that we're growing in the kingdom, that the kingdom that we're experiencing and that we're living in is expanding, that it's ever increasing. But that also correlates to us being able to dream. Amen? And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about making sure that we're able to get into the more from the dreaming aspect. It's time for us as a people of God to dream. So turn with me real quick in your Bible. I'm going to do a real quick, just a couple of scripture recap from Sunday so that we can get into the right place. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Praise God. So God is able. Come on, God is able. He's absolutely able to do some really mighty, great, wonderful, glorious, exceedingly abundantly, really above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. The Amplified says this, "Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us." Come on, there's power right now at work within you. This is not a power that's far off. It's not a power that's in heaven. It's a power that is within us. Amen. It says he's able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our desires, our thoughts, our hopes, and our dreams. You know, this scripture talking about these wonderful, exceedingly abundantly good and great and mighty things that God is going to do, it implies here that he does those in connection with what we're believing, or in connection with what we're asking, or in connection with our desires, our hopes, our dreams. So this tells us that we have to be a people who are dreaming with God, who are having some expectation, who's having some hope, who is allowing ourselves to think of what it could be like. Psalm 126 verse 1 said that when the Lord was turning the captivity of Zion, they said that we were like those that dream. They had been dreaming of what it would be like to be a free people again. So God wants us to have dreams. He wants us to have desires. He wants us to have things in our heart that we're reaching for, that we're going after. Absolutely, that's important. It's very important with the Lord. He actually says in Psalm 37 verse 4 that as we delight in him, that he will give us the desires of our heart. Now, this is twofold. First, he's going to give you desires. He's going to give you things in your heart that you can hope for, that you can reach for, that you can climb into with the Lord. And then once you've fastened upon those things in your heart, he's actually going to go ahead and give you the fulfillment of them. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news that God is going to fulfill the dreams that he gives us? And we're really happy about that. But we do have to dream. So some of us, it's like, we've got to understand some aspects of dreaming in the Lord. And then some of us need to realize it's time to dream again. Sometimes we get a dream fulfilled and then we have to go after something else. I remember many, many years ago when I was really new in the spirit-filled world, really began to latch on to faith and understand faith, I had something that God had put in my heart. I mean, I had a dream, I had a desire, and I was believing God for that, and I was going after that, and I was praying. And I found that a lot of my time and my effort and my attention with God was about this thing that God had put in my heart. And you know, the day came where the end of that happened. And I remember about a week later, I went to pray, and I was just kind of praying, and all of a sudden I was like, I got to get something else in my heart. Yeah, we can pray the word and we can pray scriptures, absolutely. But God wants to put things in our heart so that we have something to reach for, so that we have something to go after. And I just recognized in my praying that even though I was praying the word and, you know, praying some prayer, some word things out, I recognized that God was saying, hey, I need you to spend some time with me so that I can put another dream in your heart. So it is time for us to dream. Listen, I said this Sunday, I'm going to say it again. You are never too old to dream. You've never been at this too long. You've never seen enough of God that you can say, you know, I'm satisfied where I'm at. No more need for me to have great desires toward the Lord. And you're never too young. You're never too new in the gospel to have a dream, to have something that you're going after. We all need to dream and be able to dream in the Lord. There was a man by the last name of Beecher that said this. I love this quote. He said, "The soul without imagination is what an observatory would be without a telescope." I'm going to say that again. The soul without imagination is what an observatory would be without a telescope. And so if you were to go into an observatory, they've set that up so that you can see into something that you normally can't see. There's all these things that you haven't been able to see yet, that you can't see with your natural eye, that you haven't experienced yet. And you go into this place so that you can see that. But if you don't have a telescope, if you don't have something that's pointed toward, if you're not interested, if you just walk in the observatory and walk around and say, oh, well, there's really not much here. No, you have to take some time to get your telescope in view and begin to see all that there is. And that's what this life with God is. There's so much more. There's so much more that we've not yet seen. It's there. It's available. It's already established. God's already prepared it. Many things He's prepared for those that love Him. Wonderful things. Many things we haven't yet touched. We haven't yet latched onto. We haven't even yet seen. So we could say this. We could say that the Christian without a dream is like an observatory without a telescope. Because God created us to dream. You remember He created us first in His image. And God has quite an imagination. I mean, God, you know, He created, do you know what it took, the imagination that it took to create the earth and everything that's in it? So God created us with creativity. He created us to be able to dream. And listen, I believe with every fiber of my being that there's more. There's more for us to go after, but we're going to have to dream about it. I believe that with my whole heart. With every ounce of my being, I believe there's more for our families. I believe there's more for our church. I believe there's more for our ministries. I believe there's more in the spirit. Come on. I believe there's more in prayer. I believe there's more in giving. I believe there's more in our faith. How about that? I believe there's more life. There's more power. There's more grace. There's more blessing. Come on. I believe there's more in the fire. Come on. I believe there's more in the joy. Come on. I believe there's more in rejoicing. I don't think we've tapped into everything that we can tap into as we rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. I believe there's more in worship. Come on, there's more. But if we're going to have more, we're going to have to see more. If we're going to walk in more, we're going to have to be able to see more. And so that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. There's more. There's more revelation. Do I need to go on? There's more manifestation. Come on. There's more demonstration. There's more for us to have, but we're going to have to see it. Turn with me in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when I start talking about those things of the more, those are because those are things that the Lord keeps bringing up to me. And so when I say those things like there's more in the fire, some of y'all ought to be hit by that and think, you know what? There's some aspect of the fire that I hadn't tapped into. And when I get in that fire, come on, things begin to happen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now this is the prophet speaking, or an account of the prophet. And he said, "I will stand my watch and I will set myself on the rampart. and watch to see what He, God, will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision or the dream. He said, and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. I love that. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Hallelujah. This means that we are to have a dream. At every season in life, and every time, every place, we have got to have things in our heart, dreams, things that we're looking for, and we need to dream of the more. Listen, if we don't have a dream, we're not really living the way that God intends for us to live. We're merely existing. Because a dream, I said on Sunday, a dream is the thing that gives us a hope. A dream is the thing that builds our faith toward what are we expecting God to do? What are we thinking that God's going to do? How are we going to see God at work? You know, I've often wondered, when people don't latch onto things with the Lord, I think God could do things in your life and you not even really know God is doing something. We don't want to be just barely existing. No, that's not what we're after. Some people don't feel like they have a dream. Some people don't dream because they're concerned that their dream is not going to come to pass. Other people don't dream because they don't really give any time or attention to it. They just think that I'm living life with God and whatever's going to be, que sera, sera, however it's going to be. That's not how God intends to live with us, work with us. We have to have something our heart is fastened on. A dream is what causes us to move forward. It propels us into the things of the Lord. We have to be a people who dream. Dreaming is important. We have to let God define our dream and then consistently redefine our dream. But He has given us the capacity to dream and to dream big. Now remember Sunday, dreaming big is just dreaming what God puts in our heart. We don't have to go out and change the world in one fell swoop. Dreaming big is just what the Lord wants to put in your heart and going after that. But there are things that we are to be doing for the Lord. The Lord has placed special gifts. He's placed talents. He's placed abilities. He's placed graces in each of our lives. And He's given us those things so that we can reach the full potential of who God has called us to be. Every one of us, God has called us to be in Him and to do certain things. And the dreams that God puts within us, it's important because those are the things that are before us that we're stepping and moving toward. So we have to dream. We have to be a person to dream. You know, we really owe it to ourselves and we owe it to God to develop to the full potential of what God has put in us. We owe it to God, really, to live out the fullness of the God-given life that He's given us, and so we're going to have to dream. He's placed within each of our hearts a vision or a desire, really, to reach toward the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's actually a scripture. So the things that God puts in our heart, it's to help us reach toward this calling of God, and that never stops. It never stops, no matter how long you've been at this. Even when you're 80, it's not stopping. It doesn't stop until you go up in glory to meet the Lord. And God wires us. He puts within us everything that's needed for everything that He's called us to do. Whatever the dream may be, whatever the God dream may be, God has put in you the ability to accomplish that, to do that. So there is more, and there's really more to dream. So in this scripture, you know, sometimes I hear people say, I'm waiting on God. And really, most of the time, we're not waiting on God. Really, we're not waiting on God. Really, we're going about our life very busy, very full, just running around trying to get everything done and hoping that at some point God says something or does something or shows us something. But as you see in this account, the very first step here was that the prophet had to set himself in a place to see. First of all, he recognized that it was important that he gets something from the Lord. So he took the time. He said, I'm going to set myself in a place with the Lord to see what the Lord would say. So he was expecting to have something of the Lord. The Lord show him something, something that he was to do, something that he was to know. He was expecting the Lord to say something, to reveal something. You know, a dream can come in many different ways. Sometimes it can come just by the inward witness. You just kind of feel a leaning towards something. It's not like you heard God spoke, but you just have this, your heart begins to kind of move towards something. Sometimes you might hear the Lord say something. Sometimes you might have an actual dream at night that might be a God dream. You can't have God dreams. Not all dreams are pizza dreams, but a lot of dreams are pizza dreams. Not all dreams are God dreams, but you can have a vision from the Lord. You could have an angel show up and say something to you. There's all kinds of different ways that God puts this thing in our heart. But what you have to understand was the prophet understood that it was his responsibility because he knew the importance of seeing what God was going to say. What is God going to show me? So he set himself in a place. He made space. He took the time sitting before the Lord. Sitting before the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. Praying in the Spirit. Praying with the Spirit. Seeking the Lord. Looking to him. I'm talking about sometimes in the beginning stages, it's almost with an open canvas. It's not just the going to the Lord, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm going to tell you everything I need, how I want you to do it, when I want it to happen. I'm talking about letting God put a dream in our heart. And we have to develop in that. We have to recognize the need for just being in his presence, not talking all the time. Sometimes just waiting, looking to him to see what he would say. Really, a lot of people don't dream and don't get things in their heart because we don't give proper time and attention. This is very spiritual. A dream that comes from the Lord, it doesn't come from your mind. It comes from the Lord first. And so we're going to have to take some time. Really, we must free up some mental capacity to spend some time with the Lord and let the Lord show us things and let the Lord reveal things. We have to take some time to yield our soul, to yield our mind, our imagination over to our spirit with the Lord and let the Lord show us things. This is important for our life. I said it on Sunday, I'll say it again. Your believing and your receiving actually correlates to your being able to dream. If you don't take the time to dream sometimes about what it would be like to be totally well, what it would be like to wake up every day knowing that you're totally healthy, that you're not going to have pain that day, that you don't need medication that day. Amen. If you don't take time to dream about what that would be like, how that would feel, what that would really entail, then the truth is you're not going to get from where you're at to that place. We're going to have to take some time with the Lord to let him put a dream in our heart. We got to take time to conceive the dream. And a dream isn't conceived usually just once or twice. How do I know? Because sometimes you can sit with the Lord or briefly for a moment get something, and then 2 months, you don't even remember what that was. So we don't conceive a dream just by one time getting something from the Lord and saying, ooh, and then running off. No, once we sense something, we have to really begin to look to the Lord. And if that's the Lord, then we're going to cultivate that. We have to then begin to think about it. Come on, then begin to imagine it. And that's why the scripture says that he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We have to be thinking about these things. What would it really be like? What would it really be like to have my heart fully restored? You know, I went through a tragedy in life. My father left when I was young. I never knew my dad. I went through a very bad marriage and someone broke up and it broke my heart. Those things are all real, but they're certainly repairable in the Lord, absolutely. But you're going to have to dream of what it would be like to have a heart that's fully whole and satisfied and secure in the Lord. No brokenness and no where I want to sit down and break down into tears over something that happened to me 4 years ago. We have to get that in our heart. We have to think about that. We have to imagine that. We have to spend some time meditating upon that. Amen. That's what it's like to get a dream and conceive a dream. What about what it would be like to have our kids serving God? I had a pastor one time who had this story, and he had a wayward son, and his son was pretty wayward. He was pretty out there. Not just like didn't love God and want to come to church. I mean, he was all off into all kind of stuff and drugs, and his life was just a mess. But he got it with the Lord. Okay? With the Lord. He felt like the Lord wanted him to contend for his son to be back in the faith. And so you know what he did? He didn't just occasionally ask the Lord for that. He didn't lay before the Lord and cry about that. No, no, no. He would get in the spirit. He would set himself with the Lord. He would pray in the spirit. He would open up his spirit. And then he would begin to imagine what it would be like if his son was serving God. And he began to imagine what it would be like if his son was not on drugs and wasn't bound by that. He began to think about how his son would look differently, even his physical countenance. He would do this time and time again. He would just get with the Lord and he would let himself begin to imagine. That's why God gave us an imagination. Come on, if our imagination is connected with our spirit, then your imagination can be a safe place. You have to learn to imagine what things can be like in God. And so he said that one time he was sitting before the Lord and he had this, I mean, it was kind of like just a vision flash before him. And in that vision, he walked into the church from the back of the church. Now, he was a pastor. He walked in from the back of the church and there was praise and worship music going and people were in the church. And he said when he walked in and he looked down, he saw his son. And his son was standing at the altar. And his son had his hands lifted to the Lord. And his son was crying and his son was praising the Lord. And he knew in this vision that what he saw was that his son was now free. His son had repented. His son had turned to the Lord. His son had fully given his heart. And he loved that. But you know, that wasn't the only time he thought about that. He said he felt like that was something that had come from the Lord. So then he would set himself and he would just close his eyes and he would just see his son at the altar. Amen. Well, you know what happened years later? Years later, his son got his heart right with the Lord, repented. And the first time that he saw him at his church, he walked in from the back and he saw his son at the altar with his hands raised, tears coming down his face, worshiping God. The fulfillment of the dream. God put it in the heart of a man. He put it in the heart of a father so that he could dream about it, so that then after he dreamed about it, he could write it down and he could spend some time praying over it, believing God, asking God for it, so that he could read it over and over again, say it over and over again, so then it could come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to get some dreams in our heart. Sometimes God drops something in, and if we're sensitive enough, if we're spiritual enough to take the time to recognize that's from the Lord and I'm going to go after that, sometimes that happens. Sometimes we have to go to the Lord. Maybe we're sensing something about a particular area of our life. I mean, what would it be like to be financially sound?
Amen.
Woo-hoo! What would it be like to not live paycheck to paycheck? Amen. What would it be like to not have stress or worry or concern about bills? What would it be? Those things are possible in God, but it's not going to just fall out of heaven for you. You're going to have to get a dream about that. And usually once we get that concept of it, then the Lord will start working in it. He'll start giving us steps and stages and things to do to put an action to what we're believing. But tonight I'm talking about basically just the fact that we're going to have to dream. What would it be like to be financially sound? Just the reduction of stress itself. These are things that God wants to do. These are some of the things in the more that we need to reach for. We need to reach out to God. I remember years ago, most of you have heard this story at one time, but I'll just tell it because it pertains to the church. So I had met Pastor Chaz as a single woman, but I was not looking to get married. Why? Because I had found that life was content for me with the Lord. And so my thing was, Lord, if you want to send someone, you can, but I'm okay. I'm okay just loving you and serving you. I'm gonna be fine. So I wasn't like praying, asking God, really believing for a husband. But I met Pastor Chaz, you know, he's a pretty good looking guy. But I wasn't looking. And one night I went to sleep and had a dream, a dream at night that was from the Lord. And in my dream, Pastor Chaz and I got married. And we weren't like even courting or dating or like anything. I mean, I was just, you know, God, and I'm running after God. And he was in my church, in my home church. And he was, you know, when he wasn't out preaching, and he was just looking at God and running after God. And I had this dream that I was going to marry Pastor Chaz. And there were some very specific things in the dream. So I woke up, you know, knowing that it was a God dream. But what was very interesting was that the second part of that dream, was that after we got married, all of a sudden we were in a car and we drove up, and as we drove up to this really big house, and in the dream, Pastor Chaz, who I did not know, I didn't know anything about him, his life, his parents, I didn't know if he had any money, didn't have any, I didn't know anything about him. When we pulled up to the house, the Lord said, He said, our Father is giving us this house. That's what he said in the dream. Our Father is giving us this house. So I, you know, jumped out of the car and I'm running down the sidewalk to this huge house. It's a beautiful house. And I'm looking in the windows at the house. I'm looking at all, the house was fully furnished. It was a beautiful house. It was, you know, everything was just beautiful. And I was so excited, and then the dream ended. And so I woke up that next morning, first, oh my gosh, I'm gonna marry Pastor Chaz. I wonder if he knows, because I'm not telling him, because the Bible says the man finds the woman, and I'm not gonna be one of those, you know, oh, you Lord said, no, it ain't a happening. So first thing I'm wondering, does he know, you know, oh my goodness. But the second thing is I'm like, a house? He said God was giving us a house. Man, I already owned a home. And I, you know, I was happy with my home, but it, you know, it wasn't anything like that house. And I'm like, wow. And so then my mind starts thinking, you know, well, or his parents, his father's going to give us a house? Wow, I mean, are his parents rich? I mean, God, I mean, this is like, I don't even know his parents yet, but I already like them. You know, I'm thinking. So make a long story short, I did marry Pastor Chaz. He did know, and he did quote find me, so praise the Lord. God was dealing with him about the same time, but the story is that I didn't understand the second part of the dream, and I never told one person the second part of that dream. I didn't know what it meant once I met him. I mean, I love his mom and his daddy, but they weren't wealthy people. I was like, what is that, you know? When we were talking about getting married, we were like, well, I have a house. Let's just live in the house. I said, I didn't really know, but I knew it was God. So I had just set it on the shelf. And I knew that dream, and I remembered what that house looked, all those rooms being filled and everything. Six months later, the day of our wedding, I'm going to a friend's to pick up something. And when we got there, don't tell anybody, but we actually saw each other before we got married on that day. So we were together, and my friend said, I want to pray for you. Can I pray for y'all? And I said, sure. And she began to pray for us, and she prayed out, having never heard that dream, she prayed out the interpretation of that dream And it was that God was going to give us a spiritual house. I still did not know that. I mean, we were both preachers, and God had already talked to him about starting a church, but I just hadn't correlated it. And she prayed out the exact interpretation that God, our Father, was going to give us a spiritual house. Hallelujah. Well, you know, when we started the church with 7 people. We tried to start in our home, but God wouldn't let us. He made us rent out this little place. But it was a small place. It didn't look anything like that house. You know, in the beginning, we knew God had called us to pastor, and we just had to set our face like a flint and just grind it out, you know, with 7 people. And finally 20 people. And this little warehouse that, I mean, it didn't look anything like that. I mean, it didn't even look like a house. Very small, but I had a dream. I had a dream, and that dream kept me. That dream, when I would think, oh my God, we're doing this, God, for 30 people. Where are the people? What's going on? No. I have a dream. And I saw the size of that house, and I know that God's going to give us a house. There'd be no reason for us to have that big house if we didn't have people. If God wasn't in this with us, if it wasn't going to work out, come on. Listen, preachers have this to contend with the same doubts and the same things that try to creep in, just like you do. We moved over to that second location, which was across the street, and I'm thinking, Lord, this isn't the house. I just kept dreaming, and I just kept, you know, that dream was ever before me. God had put it in my heart. I knew it was there. I wasn't giving up on it. I didn't know when it was going to happen. It didn't matter that it didn't happen in year 1 or year 2 or year 10. There can be instant fulfillments of dreams. I believe that, absolutely. But sometimes a dream is like out before you, and it takes quite a long time and quite a few steps and a lot of work, a lot of faith, and a lot of patience to get there. And so finally, the Lord showed us this land that we were going to get this land. And then, you know, it took us years to purchase the land that the Lord had told us. But I knew when we were purchasing the land, I'm going to see that big house. I'm going to see that big house on that land. What I'm telling you is that I kept that dream cultivated in my heart. And then when we started putting the building together, you know, and praise God, the faithfulness of God, God was bringing in the money, and the people were coming. Praise God, all you wonderful folks. You know, to keep our hearts stirred up, and we're doing this with God. And then we're putting it all together, and then we're like, oh my gosh, we have to have money to put all the furnishings in the church. And you know, the thought came, the suggestion was even made. Well, you know, when you get in, just start small. It's okay if you don't have every room done, and I'm thinking to myself, I have a dream. God said he was giving me a house, and when I ran up and looked in that house, it was full. Every furnishing was there, everything that needed to be. God's going to fill that. He's going to give us the money. He's going to make it happen. And guess what? When we came in this place, we had every furniture thing we needed. We didn't lack anything. The fulfillment of a dream. The fulfillment of a dream. Thank God that God put a dream in my heart. What if I hadn't had a dream in my heart? What if I hadn't cultivated that? What if I didn't see that, keep that before me? We might have settled. We might be sitting still and still not the fulfillment of a dream of God. These things are important. They're important to God. They're important to the kingdom of God. I remember a story of a pastor friend of ours. He's now in heaven. But he said that the way he grew his church is that he would go in the sanctuary and he would stand on the pulpit and he would look at all the empty chairs. And then he would begin to see them all filled. And he would just say, he said he did this day after day, even though there weren't a lot of people in the chairs when Sunday would come. And he would just look at those chairs and he would just call those chairs full. And he would go around, he would just see people in those chairs. When's the last time you did this about your life? When's the last time that you took some things that you feel like the Lord wants to do for you and you just sat with the Lord and imagined what it would be like? When you really thought about what the fulfillment of it would look like. Oh yeah, when God turned the captivity, we were like those who dream. We were like, this just is almost just too good to be real. This is more than we expected. They had a dream in their heart of what it would be like to be a free people. It's time for us to dream. to let God put some things in our heart, to realize that it's important enough to go after a dream of the more. I mean, we need to hook our heart on something in this season. If we're going to get it, we're going to have to see it. We're going to have it established in our heart. Once that dream is secure in our heart, once it's secure in faith, then things will begin to happen. Then God will begin to move in it. The Lord, by His Spirit, is able to bring about our dreams, our hopes, our desires. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do. He's actually going to do them, and He's going to do them according to the power that works in us. Guess who the power is that works in us? The Holy Spirit is the one that's in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Once God puts something in your heart, I'm not talking about conceiving something out of your own desire, your own will, your own what you want to do. I'm talking about when it's God-given, when it's born of the Spirit, when that it is a God-given dream that came from the Spirit, that dream by the Spirit carries with it the ability of the Spirit to get it done. A God-given dream is graced by the Spirit of God. A God-given dream is increased by the Spirit of God. A God-given dream is worked by the Spirit of God. Not independent of God, not us having to do it ourselves. Us just having to be obedient to cultivate the dream and then do whatever God shows us, whatever the next step is. Don't get ahead of ourselves. Don't try to figure out. I never could figure out how we were going to get to that big, huge building with all the stuff in it, where when we were at 20 people and 30 people and 80 people and 120 people. I didn't know the hows. You don't always have to know the how. The first thing you have to do is get it established in your heart. Amen. But we do have within us the Spirit of God who will work things. By the Spirit, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and bring things to pass as we dream it. It even says there, he got the plan. He was going to write it down, read it, run with it, so that it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. I tell you what, if we'll just reach for those dreams, come on, if we'll just climb into those dreams, God's going to get involved. God's going to get involved. He's going to start working some things out. He's going to start turning some things around. He's going to start putting some things in order. He's going to start giving you some things that you need. He's going to have all kinds of people favor you and honor you. Come on, we're going to find the provision of God. We'll find the blessing of God. We'll find the grace of God in our God-given dreams. Hallelujah. There is more of the good stuff. There's more of the God stuff for us, more for you, more for me, more for us. We're God's people. We're remnant people. Come on. We're remnant people set aside for His purpose to show forth His glory. And that's more and more. And it's not just what we think of as spiritual things, although those qualify. But it's not just spiritual things. Sometimes the dream that's in your heart is to be a better wife. That's honoring to God. It's honoring to the kingdom. These things of God that God wants to put in our heart work in all arenas of life. It's not just about what you're going to do at the church. It has to do with all the arenas of our life. But God wants to get involved. We are His people. We are His church. He set Houston Faith Church and you in it. And He set us for such a time as this. Come on, so that we can show forth the kingdom of God, advance the kingdom, show the love of God, the power of God as His remnant church. Glory to God. But we're going to have to be a people who dream. We're going to have to be a people who dream. I want to encourage you to take some time. The Lord has said there's more. If you don't know yet what that is, if you don't know where to focus that attention, where to focus of what to go after, you know, if you don't go after something, you'll end up missing everything. That's how the devil, I think, steals from a lot of us, is making us feel like there's so much that we don't know where to focus. We don't know where to put our effort. We don't know where to put our prayer. We don't know where to put our attention to. So we're going to have to focus on some things. Something. We're going to have to dream and dream of the more. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.